Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This weekend, Sacramento's McKinley Park will transform into the Walk for Apraxia. The annual event is more than just a walk, of course. It's a celebration of children living with apraxia of speech. It's a rare neurological disorder that makes it difficult for kids to plan and coordinate the movements needed for talking. Children with apraxia usually know exactly what they want to say, but their brains have trouble sending the right signals to the muscles that form words. With early diagnosis and intensive speech therapy, many children can make a lot of progress, but it takes awareness, support, and community. And that's what Saturday's Walk is all about. We're joined by the event organizer, Madeline Timberger. Welcome to Insight.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you are the organizer of this walk. When did you first get touched or become impacted by apraxia?
So I have a 5.5-year-old son at home. He was diagnosed with apraxia when he turned 3. At first, when we were seeing his progress, he started saying words at about 10 months old. He said mama, and then he stopped talking for about 6 months. He didn't say anything, and then he started doing like ba 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 stuff. Mm-hmm. And so after that, because he wasn't making much progress around 2, 2.5, I decided to bring it up to his pediatrician at a well check appointment. And from there, they referred us to the Kaiser pediatrician, and they were able to diagnose him there.
Hmm. How rare or common is apraxia of speech?
So childhood apraxia of speech is really rare in children. They don't know what causes it. In adults, they can get apraxia, but that's more like if they get like a stroke or a TBI.
I see. What is the difference between apraxia of speech and a speech delay?
So with a speech delay, they're just delayed in speech and talking and with their speech. But with apraxia, they do have that speech delay, but they're not making as much progress as like a child that does have a speech delay. For example, I had a speech delay as a child. I didn't start talking till I was 2.5. But once I started talking, my dad said I wouldn't shut up. But with Jackson, my son, once he started making sounds, I was like, okay, maybe there's progress there. But there never really was until we got him into speech therapy.
You know, when you noticed that something was different with Jackson, and ultimately you did get that diagnosis, was it easy to reach that diagnosis?
So when we did get that diagnosis, at first it was suspected childhood apraxia speech because he was so young. He was only 3, like he just turned 3. And when we told family, they were like, everyone kind of denied it. They're like, no, he'll get there. It's just a speech delay. And then what we did is we went and tried finding places that specialized in apraxia, because just getting regular speech therapy wasn't going to be beneficial to him. Whereas, like, if we went to a clinic that did specialize in it, we would see more improvement.
Was that easy to find?
So at first we were at a speech clinic that said that they did specialize, but I didn't see any improvement in him. It was kind of stagnant. Mm-hmm. But then because of my advisor, I go to Sac State. I major in speech therapy. And so I reached out to my advisor, and she knew someone that had a clinic out in Roseville. It's called Bright Start Therapies. And I was able to get him in right away. He's been there since he was about 3.5. So he's been there about for 2 years now, and I'm seeing a lot of progress with him.
Wow, it's such a game changer for you. I mean, the speech therapy program here at Sac State is awesome, but not everyone has access to that advisor or that professor that you had, which is great that you have walks like this to raise awareness. What impact does this have in the community? Because you do this every year.
Yeah, so this is my second year doing this. I'm a co-coordinator, and my aunt is the other co-coordinator. So how we found out about this was I was in an intro class for my major, and they were discussing like how like they've been involved, and I saw there was a walk for apraxia that happened in 2019 before COVID happened. So I mentioned that to my aunt, and she reached out to Apraxia Kids out in Philadelphia through an email and saying, hey, is there a way that we can bring this back? And so we did bring it back last year, and it's our second year now.
What do you hope to accomplish from walks like this?
What I hope to accomplish is just like bringing awareness out there, because a lot of people don't know about apraxia. And through like our fundraising that we're doing, we can bring more resources and provide like more training and education on apraxia, so it's more known out there.
You mentioned that when Jackson first went to some speech therapy, you know, it was stagnant. There was some stagnation. But when he went to a therapist that specialized in apraxia, which he's been doing now for the last 2 years, I mean, that's a game changer. What makes therapy for apraxia different from therapy for other speech disorders?
So with apraxia, there is a technique called prompt. It is where they're that the therapist is able to, like, you touch them and, like, you know, make that mouth movement. And he's also had, like, you know, tongue depressors to where, like, he knows what he's saying. My son also does have, like, a lateral lisp with it. So with all, like, if he sees, like, a mirror of how he's doing it, then he's able to make that sound. But, like, if he doesn't, then he won't make that sound. Because with apraxia, like, some common symptoms or, like, yeah, some common symptoms of it is, like, they will leave off final consonants and words, they will struggle with vowels, and they'll sometimes be, like, groping for the sounds. Mm.
How is Jackson doing today?
Today, he's making a lot of progress. Yeah, he still goes to Bright Start twice a week. He goes to Sac State Mary Jane Reese Center twice a week. And through his school right now, he is getting an IEP to where he can have speech at school.
Mm. Is apraxia something that you will need long-term or ongoing therapy for the rest of your life, or is it something that a child can ultimately grow out of?
So they can ultimately outgrow it. It just takes, like, a lot of extensive therapy. I did ask one of my professors about this about last semester, and she said that he'll probably finish therapy around 10 years old.
Why did you want to become a speech therapist?
So I wanted to become a speech therapist because when I saw my son being diagnosed, at first I was going into the field to become a nurse, but ultimately my grades weren't good enough. So I was exploring, like, what I can do. And I always like working, like, in healthcare. And I saw this and I was like, this is something I can do because it, like, I can have my own private practice. I can work in the hospitals. I can work at home. And just having Jackson have that diagnosis really motivated me in wanting to help other kids like him.
You mentioned that, you know, a lot of people don't know what apraxia is. They might not know what signs to look out for. What would you like parents or caregivers to know, to the signs that you noticed that allowed you to get help for Jackson?
So some of the signs that I noticed, well, at first, like, he wasn't talking. Like, I know through my classes, I know that you're supposed to be talking around a year. And, like, he did say, like, mama at 10 months. And I was like, okay, that's good. My son also does have autism, so that does play a factor into it. But he wasn't making any progress, like, say, 2.5, 3, even 3. So then when he wasn't talking at about 2, 2.5, that's when I started to worry. And his well checkup appointment was coming up. So then I did reach out to his doctor about it.
When you held the walk last year, it was the first time you did it. How did it feel to be surrounded by people that not only want to help raise awareness for apraxia, but also people who have gone through something similar?
It felt really good. Like, when I was there, I took it in, and I didn't realize how many people in the greater Sacramento area did have apraxia and have to, like, deal with that in their day-to-day lives. Like, some of them, they were mild, like my son, but then I saw other children who had a more severe case of it, to where it's like they were nonverbal.
Yeah. How did this whole experience, which is going to be lifelong, how did it shape your perspective as a young parent?
How it shaped my perspective is I used to be, like, really quick to, like, judge something. And now I just, like, take a moment and be like, no, that they might be going through something. Like, you don't know what someone's going through. Like, everyone's going through something. And I just have to, like, take that in at times.
Yeah. What advice would you give to other parents or caregivers who may be hearing this diagnosis for the first time? It can feel pretty overwhelming.
So, yeah. So when I got my diagnosis for my son, it was overwhelming. Like, to be honest, I felt like I failed him, and it was hard for me to, like, swallow that for a while. But then after that, like, I was in complete denial for a while. My aunt was not, so she started, like, doing, like, looking at, like, the recordings, like, seminars and everything, what we can do to help him. But what some parents can do, like, for some advice is, like, just to take it day by day. Mm-hmm. Like, it is overwhelming if you look at it at the big picture, but if you take it day by day, it's still going to be overwhelming. But it's not going to be as overwhelming.
Yeah. When it comes to this weekend on Saturday, people want to take part. What should they know?
So ways that people can be involved on Saturday, if you go to the Apraxia Kids website, it will say everything about the walk. Check-in is at 10 a.m. at McKinley Park. It starts at 11 a.m. You can create a team to walk. You can donate to fundraise. The money goes for the fundraising. It goes to like AAC devices for the children that are nonverbal or have difficulty speaking. It goes to more specialized training for the therapists out there. It goes for like more education, just more services in general. And it's just for a really good cause out there.
Yeah, I mean, you're accepting donations to help people because, I mean, this is a huge financial commitment for a lot of families. When you talk to parents and children who are navigating apraxia, what are some of the concerns that they raise going through this?
Some concerns that people do raise when there is apraxia is if your child will ever actually learn to read. I've learned that sometimes when your child has that apraxia diagnosis, that they are at a more increased risk of never learning to read or having dyslexia. So my son doesn't read yet. He's 5. I'm not worried about it yet. So what I'm doing just to like help him love the idea of reading is just reading to him every night. And also like audiobooks can help too. If like, you know, your child can't read, they can still listen to it and they can still understand it.
You mentioned that the funds raised would also help with medical devices that can help children with apraxia. Expand on that. What do these devices do?
So an AAC device, it is mainly used for children who are nonverbal, usually like with apraxia or autism. Mm-hmm. And what it can do is like it has an app where like if you can't say something, you can point to that app thing or like that word and it'll be able to like speak for you.
I see. And does Jackson use that?
So I don't have it for Jackson. It has been recommended for him, but the reason I haven't gotten it for him is he already has a tablet at home. I don't want him becoming dependent on another electronic device to where he's only dependent on that and won't speak for himself.
Yeah. And Jackson is, as you mentioned, 5 years old, is already in school?
Yeah, he's in kindergarten at the California Montessori School.
You know, as a parent navigating the school system, if your child has additional needs, you know, what advice do you have for parents that have to work with school districts, with campuses to find the right and adequate support for your child?
So what I have done for that is he was originally going to go to a school in Sac City Unified. So, and then he got into the California Montessori Project out in Carmichael. So what I did for him was that this past summer, I got the IEP for him out through Sac City Unified. And then I gave it to California Montessori Project just so it could speed up that IEP process because then they have 30 days from the start of school to give you an IEP meeting. So I had that IEP meeting with his teachers last week. It was a little over the 30 days, but we were able to address his strengths and weaknesses as well as like what additional support he will need at school. So what I would suggest to parents is to really advocate for your child and to get onto that IEP as soon as possible.
That also extends to healthcare. Mm-hmm. That can be a complicated web to navigate. How have you learned to navigate the healthcare system and medical providers for your child?
So what I did to find his speech therapist is when he was diagnosed at 3, they gave me a long, extensive list of speech therapy out there. It wasn't specialized to apraxia, so I had to go through it individually one by one and look at their website to see if it was a good fit for Jackson. Also, on Apraxia Kids, their website, they do have it on their website what clinics specialize in apraxia. So if you were to look into that and do your research on the clinics that Kaiser gave me, I was able to make a informed decision. Plus, like Apraxia Kids doesn't have it all of them out there, just the ones that are accredited.
Madeline, thank you so much for raising awareness.
Of course.
Madeline Timberger is an organizer with the Greater Sacramento Walk for Apraxia. That walk happens Saturday, October 4th at 10 a.m. at McKinley Park, and we have more information on our Insight page. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. You can also email us at insight@capradio.org. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.